Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, A Faithful Brother.
On this final message in this series that God has given us, entitled Grateful Men of Purpose, four unsung heroes of the Bible. We want to share with you what God has given us as we conclude this series. But I want to invite you to be and to join us in July. But July is real special. God has given me a special assignment. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to do, but God told me he wants me to preach every Sunday and teach every Tuesday in July. I did remind him that it gets to be 100 degrees in July. And most preachers I know take off, he says, but you ain't most preachers, okay? I need you to do what I tell you to do. So join us in July. We have four messages of four reasons to be grateful starting next Sunday. Number one, grateful to know him. Is there anybody just grateful that I know the Lord? Second message of that series is grateful for every season of my life, I'm grateful. Third message in that series is grateful for God's timing. He may not come when you want him. I know there's some country old time folk, church folk, look at somebody, say he's an on time God. Then the final message in that series is simply entitled grateful for a second chance. Amen. In July, every Sunday, a different series, every Tuesday night, living a life of gratitude. Join us for the month of July. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12 is where our text is found today. Grateful men of purpose, four unsung heroes of the Bible. Listen to the reading of God's word. One verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, the New Living Translation. I have written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas. Somebody say Silas. Silas, whom I commend to you as a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in his grace. And those who love the Lord said amen. 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 For the next few moments, I want to speak to you from the subject that's embedded in the text, lifted out of the text for the purpose of the subject of the day's message. Look at, just wave at somebody, because some of you, this does not apply to women, but just wave at somebody. Bear with us and say, a faithful brother. There's some faithful brothers among us. Amen. Give God a hand of praise for all the faithful brothers. You may be seated. Amen. The brothers on this choir, I know you're going to sleep good tonight because you were here at 8 o'clock. Some of you aren't as young as you used to be. Amen. Just don't go to sleep on me in the next 20 minutes. Amen. I thank God for faithful brothers. A faithful brother. For the past 3 weeks, we have talked about grateful men of purpose. Because June here at Bible Way has been deemed Men's Month, in which we highlight the contributions, the dedication, the faithfulness of men. We have shared with you throughout this month of June the testimonies of three unsung heroes of the Bible. Three men whose names are not commonly known, but yet they made significant contributions to the lives of those who eventually became biblical superstars. Three men who understood who they were and what God had called them to be. The first message of this series on the first Sunday of this month was entitled A Wise Mentor, in which we highlighted the testimony of Jethro. Somebody say Jethro. Jethro was the father-in-law of Moses, someone who gave Moses some wise advice. And as a result, Moses went on to have the energy, the stamina, the commitment to do some great and wonderful things, such as lead the children of Israel through the wilderness, write the first five books of the Bible. And I submit to you that part of Moses' success was that he had someone in his life that will give him some wise advice. Thank God for Jethro. Second message of this series, we highlighted a man by the name of Jonathan. Now, to those of you who are here at the 11 o'clock service, you did not get this because it was graduation Sunday. We encourage you to go listen online. But at the 8 o'clock service, we talked about Jonathan, who was a friend of David. That message was entitled A Loyal Friend. Amen. Not only was Jonathan a friend, but he was a loyal friend. To fully appreciate the testimony of Jonathan, perhaps you need to understand what Jonathan was entitled to and what he was willing to give up for somebody that God had anointed to do what Jonathan's family thought he would do. And he was not jealous. He was not revengeful. He became David's closest confidant, David's closest friend. In fact, the Bible says Jonathan loved David so much, even closer perhaps than the love that a man would have for a woman. That was the relationship between Jonathan and David, a loyal friend. And then on last week, which was Father's Day, we talked about another unsung hero of the Bible. We shared with you the story that is written in Luke chapter 15, the parable of what scholars and others, Jesus did not name the parable, scholars named the parable, the prodigal son. It shows you where their emphasis was. The scholars, those who name different parables in the Bible, focus on the son which was lost. But perhaps the true title of that parable should have been called The Grateful Father. A father who never gave up on his child. A father who kept watching and waiting on his child. Although he knew that his child was lost somewhere in a strange land, he trusts that God would make a way somehow. And when the son returned, the father did not condemn, did not slam his name, but he celebrated his return. And said, "This is my son who was dead, but is now alive. He was lost, but now he is found." Three unsung heroes of the Bible: Jethro, Jonathan, and the father of that prodigal son. And now in this final message of this series, and on this annual Men's Day, I save this message for today on purpose. In this message, we would like to discuss another unsung hero in the New Testament, one by the name of Silas. Silas, who was simply described as a faithful brother. Now, it is important to note that God chooses to use faithful people to accomplish his purpose here on this earthly journey, not just gifted and talented people. May I say that again? God chooses faithful people, not just gifted and talented people. In fact, I am totally convinced that the Lord prefers those, listen to this, who are faithful and not as gifted or talented than those who may be very gifted and very talented but are not so faithful. Can I preach? Given a choice, God always chooses faithfulness. He said to Moses that I want you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses says, why me? I'm a fugitive. I have a speech impediment. I have committed an atrocious crime in Egypt. I have a brother who is still there by the name of Aaron, who is refined, highly educated, someone who can speak, who can pontificate without a blink, someone who can put it all together. And God basically said to Moses, if I wanted Aaron, I would have called him. I want you. Whew. God chose someone that he knew would always be faithful to him. There are a whole lot of people that are more talented, that are more gifted, that God will not choose. The world may choose them. In fact, the world may be impressed with gifts and talent. But God values honor. God values and honor faithfulness. Look at somebody and say, are you faithful? Don't tell me how great you can sing. Are you willing to sing? Because some of you have good concerts in the pews. But the reason you don't sing is because you're not willing to come to rehearsal and put in the time to do it. Faithfulness takes a commitment. And I am totally convinced that when God gets ready to do something, he chooses people he know he can count on. He can, because a whole lot of folk, God hears you, but he can't count on you. Preach, Pastor Jackson. God hears your testimony. God hears your story, but he knows he can't count on you. Deacon Simmons, I told the church this morning, when we were growing up, they used to sing a song called Count On Me. And now, those of you who know this, it goes like this. Count on me. Faithful servant, I will be. I will fight with all my might. Lord, you can count on me. I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. Is there anybody in here know that God can count on you? In fact, all of you that know that God can count on you, come on, give God a praise. Do me a favor, find a way to just rise and stand to your feet and give me a visible demonstration that God can count on you. Ooh. Listen, we live in a society in which gifts and talent get top billings. Gifts and talents get people recognized. But I am convinced that sometimes the strongest people in the world are those who work beneath the scene. What good is a pretty house on a shaky foundation? Preach, Pastor Jackson. Some of you built your whole reputation. Sister Nat, good to see you, my cousin. Some of you built your whole reputation on shaky foundations. Yeah, you look good, you sound good, you walk with a pimp and a stride, but you have no faithfulness. When the storm comes and the wind comes and the trouble beats on your house, you crumble and fall. You don't have a strong foundation. If God can't count on you, you will not last. The reason why some ministries do not last is because it's built on the reputation of a personality. And when you are built on the reputation of a personality, when that personality either fades, mess up, or dies, then the ministry fades away. But thank God that Bishop Jackson and those who built the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road said, don't build it on me, build it on my rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. How many of you know your testimony is built on the rock? I just need about 500 folk to leap up to your feet and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the foundation. Thank you. Thank you for faithfulness. Faithfulness shows up when talent fades away. When gifts and talents sleep in late, faithfulness shows up early. Who am I preaching to? Ooh, faithfulness will do the hard things. When there is no recognition, when there's nobody to call your name, when they can't put you over anything. Some folk can't be anything unless they're over a thing. Catch it. But you gotta learn how to be under somebody before you can be over anything. Who am I preaching to? The reason God doesn't put you over anything, because you can't be under anybody. Some of you, you can't serve under anybody. You bring drama wherever you go. But I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about folk in the other church, okay? But thank God for folk who say, Lord, here am I. And I'll do whatever you want me to do. Thank God for faithfulness. Can you give God a hand of praise for all of those faithful vessels of God? So the question for us today, if God values faithfulness and the world values talent and gifts, the question for us today as believers is this: who are we really trying to impress? Can I preach this? Who are you really trying to impress? The people of this world or the Lord? One of the sad commentaries about social media is that we put everything out there just trying to get popular. But is it better to be popular or faithful? Is it better to have folk know your name, or your name is known for something that changes the lives of people? And if you can touch one life, everybody can preach. Amen. If you can touch one life, then your living would not have been in vain. Look at the text, if you will, in this incredible text in the book of 1 Peter. Let us examine a powerful, unsung hero of the New Testament by the name of Silas. Silas was first mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 22. It was noted, and this is important, that he was chosen by the Jerusalem church to accompany Paul and Barnabas to Antioch. Other folks saw his faithfulness and chose him. He did not select himself, but he was chosen by others because they knew that they could count on Silas. In fact, that same text, chapter 15, verse 22, the New King James Version, refers him as one of the leading men among brothers. Now, we've already established the fact that he did not have great name recognition. So what made him a leading man among the brothers is how he walked and the life that he lived. If you want to know if you are a leader or not, let me see the life that you live. Let me see how you walk among folk when there's no spotlight on you, when there's nobody to call your name. Can you do as Elder Jeff said of Deacon John Porter? Can you show up with somebody that you want to just help and nobody knows it and no one has to call your name? Silas, somebody help me say Silas. Silas may not have had a book of the Bible named after him, nor was he ever the center of the spotlight. But his faithfulness, somebody say faithfulness. Silas' faithfulness allowed him to have a significant role in the success of the early New Testament Christian church. Silas was a trusted and a dedicated companion to first the Apostle Paul and then the Apostle Peter. Now, I said this in purpose because these are two of the iconic figures of the New Testament. But yet there was Silas, someone who did not compete with Paul or Peter, but complimented them. Oh, I am preaching because a whole lot of you have competing spirits, but not complimentary. A competing spirit say, I've got to do what you do. I've got to do it better than you do. A complimentary spirit says, I want to help you do what you do better. Who am I preaching to? Thank God for Silas, says, if I can just help somebody. He traveled with Paul, traveled with Peter. He had a significant role with both Paul and Peter. Now, it is believed that Luke perhaps dictated and wrote down the writings of Paul, but most biblical scholars have come to the conclusion that all of Peter's writings were actually written physically by Silas. Preaching to somebody. He was a scribe to Peter. Why is that important? It is because he was someone who wrote down the notes. In fact, some biblical scholars believe the first four chapters of 1 Peter, at least up until verse 12 of chapter 5, was literally written by Silas. But he did not mind Peter taking the credit. Who can I preach? Whole lot of you say, if I do all the hard work, I want them to recognize me. Where if God recognizes you, does it matter if anybody else recognize you? If God says, well done, does it matter that anybody else recognizes you? Why is this so important, Pastor Jackson? Even in chapter 5, I can go through all four chapters of 1 Peter and show you some profound writings. But go with me, if you will, as we examine two verses in chapter 5 that are iconic verses that perhaps Silas wrote, but Peter got the credit for it. But it did not bother Silas because he knew what his assignment from God was. Let me just say before I read this chapter, is there anybody in here comfortable with who you are and what God has called you to be? Look at your neighbor and say, I don't need to be in charge. I'm just glad to be one in the number, just to be in the number, just to be counted among those that are alive. Lord, I'm grateful. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter, the first verse I want to bring to your attention will be verse number 7. These profound words are found. The 7th verse, the New Living Translation say, give all your worries and cares to God, for he careth about you. King James says, cast all your cares on him. Now, we quote that scripture all the time. And we say, oh, Peter says, cast all your cares. But in fact, if biblical scholars are correct, Silas came up with that. Peter got the credit, but it was the inspiration of Silas through the Holy Spirit. But you didn't hear Silas complain one bit. As long as the word went out, it did not matter who got credit for it. I just need to preach to somebody who knows if you give God the glory, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Somebody ought to help me give God a praise. You owe God about a 10-second praise. Give him some glory. Look at somebody, say, to God be the glory. Thank God for people who work behind the scene. Thank God for people who've dedicated their whole lives into making other people look good. Listen, I would not be half of the person I am without the trusted servants that work behind the scene, even those in an administration. Thank you, Andrea, for the years that you stood by my side and made me look better than I deserve. Thank you, Constance, for what you do now. Thank you to all of the staff here at Bible Way that do it. Thank you to those upstairs who make us sound and look better than what we ever deserve. You may see me up front, but there's some people like Silas that's behind the scene who give God the glory to say, I'm just glad to be a part of the assignment that God has put in this place. Is there somebody just grateful for what God has called you? You don't have to be the head usher, but usher anyhow. You don't have to be the chairman of the deacon's ministry, but keep being a deacon. You don't have to lead praise and worship, but keep singing. You don't have to preach every Sunday, but keep going to the prison. Thank you to all of the Silases that God has placed. Thank you, Pastor Lawson's. Thank you to others. Thank you, Elder Sarah. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to my beloved, beautiful, talented wife who God knows make me look better than I ever make. Before I preached to y'all, I preached to her and said, baby, does this sound good? She said, this may sound better. Okay, thank you, whose name is not on any of these sermons, but her impact is. There's some people in your life who other folk don't know, but their impact made a difference. Ooh, think of somebody. Can every now and then we ought to pause and give God a praise. This is a good time to give God a praise for every unsung hero in your life that made you look better than what you ever deserved. Y'all got the next 10 seconds to tell God thank you. Thank you, Lord. Another powerful verse, and I'm doing this to set Silas up, that Peter gets credit for, but theologians perhaps believe Silas wrote it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. New Living Translation says this: in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. Now, this is the part that I like, that Silas never gets credit for, but perhaps he could be responsible for it. So after you have suffered, don't y'all make us have church in here. After you have suffered a little while, who am I preaching to? Somebody ought to say, thank you, Silas. Thank you, Pastor Mac. How can I ever thank you enough for being a trusted servant of God that doesn't always have to get the credit? Silas writes, so after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Peter got the credit But perhaps Silas had the inspiration. And Silas said, it doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. Somebody ought to give God some glory. Woo. Come on, church. Think of something that somebody else did to help you get to where you are and give God. Tell your neighbor, I didn't get here by myself. I had some faithful folk who lifted me up and placed me up and prayed for me. Thank you, Mother Ellen Lumpkin. Thank you. Somebody had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. Y'all all got a praise. On this annual men's day, take the next 20 seconds and give God a... Church used to walk around and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, thank you. You brought me from a mighty long ways. Anybody know God has been good to you? Woo! And so in our text, Peter writes the end, starting in verse 12, 13, 14, because Peter wanted to take this opportunity to thank somebody who deserved recognition. And Peter writes that I sent this by Silas. Peter had all kind of words that was available to his vocabulary. Peter could have used that Silas was an esteemed pontificator of the gospel. He could have used that Silas is one of the noted scholars of all the New Testament church. He could have said there's no one whose penmanship was as delicate and as wonderful as Silas. But he did not use those words to describe Silas. When he had an opportunity to describe Silas, he simply described him as a faithful brother. He says, faithful supersedes everything else. Peter says, I recommend, I suggest to you, Silas, a faithful brother. Faithful brother that did not seek to be the center of attention, did not need a fancy title, but was comfortable with who he was and what God had called him to be. Look at somebody and say, thank God for faithful brothers. I want to leave you with three key characteristics of a faithful brother. Number one is this, a faithful brother, and this is for every single lady in here who's looking for a husband. Before you can get a good husband, you better make sure he's a faithful brother. Again, because if he ain't faithful in the little things, I've got news for you. He's not going to be faithful in the big things, okay? A faithful brother, and so everybody ought to take a picture of this. Every man in the house, every brother in the house, every woman, every girl in the house ought to take this. A faithful brother is dependable and reliable. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Pastor Jackson, for pointing that out. But faithful brother is dependable and reliable. Being dependable and reliable is more important than being gifted or talented. Silas was used by God and trusted by others because of his character. Let me read this slowly and surely. I want you to catch this. His character matched his calling. Some of your characters don't match the badge you wear, or the colors you wear, or the titles you carry. God ain't impressed with your collar, your badge, or your title. God wants to know if your character matches your calling. Some of the strongest people in this church are some of the quietest people in this church that you never hear of. But their character, thank you, Deacon Stefan. Thank you, Summit. Thank you, Deacon Glover. Thank you, all of these others, names I did not call, for being who you are without having to call your name. Your character ought to match your calling. When it's all said and done, nobody ought to talk about how Pastor Jackson preaches. Before they talk about how I preach, they ought to be impressed with how I live. Do I treat my wife right? Do I treat my family right? Do I treat members in the community right? Do I see them in the grocery store and speak? Because I know some apostles and bishops where the apostle title Elder Gloria everywhere they go. Somebody told me that they saw an apostle in the grocery store and said, praise the Lord, apostle. God is good. God is good. I said, please come down to reality. And before you can be a good apostle, you ought to be a faithful brother. And faithful men and women speak to every. Who am I preaching to? Your character ought to match your calling. And if it doesn't, then your calling is in vain. Your calling is an abomination to God if your character doesn't match your calling. Here's the other part that I like, and I mentioned it last week. This is one of my new favorite expressions. Your video ought to match your audio. What you do ought to match what you say. Hey, who am I preaching to? You ought to line my life up next to my radio messages. And if I preach one thing and live another thing, tell folk don't listen to me anymore because my video doesn't match my audio. You ought to allow your video to match. You don't have to be perfect, but you just got to be dedicated. And if you do make a mistake, don't be so proud that you can't say, I am sorry. Am I right about it? Say, I apologize. I told the church this morning, one thing I tried to teach my two sons and even my granddaughter, who's now 18 years old, and she came to me one time and said, Granddaddy, I didn't do anything to be sorry for. I said, still say, I apologize. I used to have it. I would have it with my sons, and we would go out. Well, Daddy, why I got to apologize? Because the bigger person ought to act like the bigger person, and the bigger person doesn't mind saying, I'm sorry, even if you know you hadn't done anything wrong. If it brings peace, just say it. Can I preach? May I preach? Do you have the humility to be the first to apologize? Or some of you have been waiting 5 years for somebody to come to you and say, I'm sorry. You haven't spoken to a sister or a brother in your own family because they won't call you and say, I'm sorry. I've got a flash news bulletin for you. They ain't, excuse the grammar, will never say I'm sorry. But you're the one with the Holy Ghost. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Well, let me change that to other glory. You're the one who's supposed to have the Holy Ghost. And if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you go beyond what ordinary people. His video match his audio. Second key insight. A faithful brother remains faithful despite their trials and hardships. A man that is born of a woman is of a few days full of trouble. Tell somebody, trouble will come. Trouble will be in your way. Folk will let you down. Folk will abuse and scandalize. I never knew what that meant, but the quartet singers used to sing it. They just scandalize your name, okay? Folk will do that to you. But you've got to learn how to praise God anyhow. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas beaten, bound, and in prison. Most people would have quit. May I say that again? Beaten, bound, and in prison, but did not quit. But at midnight, at midnight, they prayed. And how many of you ever given God your best praise during your darkest hours? Anybody know how to praise God at midnight? Anyone in here know how to praise God when nothing goes right in your life? But I will bless the Lord at all times. Tell your neighbor you owe God a praise. Faithfulness is demonstrated under pressure when life becomes difficult. That's when I know you're faithful. When you can withstand the pressure, and they can lie on you and you can still smile. When you can love somebody you know hate you. When you can apologize for something you did not even do. That's when I know that you're faithful and you're committed to the Lord. Amen. Third and the final one is a faithful brother, like Silas, is an encourager. Not only was Silas a traveling companion, but he was an encourager. As a faithful brother, Silas received great joy and fulfillment in encouraging and helping others to succeed. It was never about him. Ooh, who am I preaching to? Look at someone and say, it cannot be about you. It can't be about you. It has to be about the mission. And the reason why Silas did not get mad when Peter put his name on the epistle, because the mission was more important than the recognition. Ooh. When the mission becomes more important than the recognition, then you would do what God has called you to do. Silas' story reminds us that to God, greatness is not measured by popularity, fame, or earthly accomplishments, but by our faithfulness. As we stand to our feet all over this place and we conclude this message as well as this series, let us remember that the unsung heroes of the Bible, as well as the unsung heroes in our life, are those who do not have to be the lime in the limelight, do not have to be the center of attention. If there's someone in your life that has to always have all the attention, put them out of your circle. You don't need that negative distraction. Amen. But are people unsung heroes, are people that are very comfortable with who they are and what God has called them to be? So my rhetorical question I leave you with today is that, can God count on you to be Jethro, a wise mentor? Can God count on you to be Jonathan, a loyal friend? Can God count on you to be the father of the prodigal son who would never give up on his child? Can God count on you to be Silas, a faithful servant, a faithful brother? And if the answer is yes, then God can use you to do some great and mighty things. Lift those hands before we come to the altar. Come on, brothers, right now. Because I see unsung heroes in this audience. I see those of you that are willing to help someone else succeed. Those of you who do not mind sharing the credit, because you know that God will always get the glory. And the challenge for us today is that, are we putting ourselves in a position to be available for God to use us? Look at someone standing next to you and say, are you available? Are you available? Willing to make the sacrifices and to do what God has called you to do? Let me do something before we call to the altar, because I want to do something. This song that Milton Brunson wrote, "You gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show him your love, your perfect plan. You gave me my ears. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners, but cannot wipe away their tears. You gave me my voice to speak your words, to sing your praise. But with my eyes, I can see a need for more availability. Lord, I'm available to you. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way. Enable me to say, my storage is empty. I am available to you." I want to do something special on this Men's Day. I want to invite all the men first to come to the altar. I want the altar first with the associate pastors and the deacons and the others. Come, you're the first line of defense. Y'all come up, stand at the altar right now. All the other men come, deacons come, stand at this altar. All the men in the audience, from the balcony to the back of the church, just come and stand. Come on, come on. As Elder Cedric tells us, say, listen, listen, listen.
Come on. You gave me my hands.
Look at all of these brethren.
To reach out.
This is a demonstration. If you're in the balcony, we'll wait on you to come back.
And your perfect plan.
You gave now, brothers on the choir, I need y'all to do me a favor. All the brothers on the choir, just lift those hands. Thank God for you, Demir. Can you do me a favor? Can y'all come down and stand at the altar? Come on. All the brothers, the praise team, stay here. Right.
Somebody say, you gave me
all
my
the
voice.
Brothers, come on. Stand at the altar.
Just to speak your word. To sing all
God
your
God told
praises.
Me to do this. Thank you, Deacon Melton. Thank you, some of the others. One of our oldest deacons leading the charge. Eyes. Sergeant Major Melton, thank you. Thank
for more
you.
Availability.
Y'all make room for the choir. Yeah, yeah.
I see hearts.
Every brother.
So many people. Come on, all over the room. Come on, can we just declare, say, Lord, I'm available.
Thank you, Elder Terry, for being a faithful brother, man.
Come on,
thank
my will.
Y'all can just stand around the altar. The deacon, y'all can just stand on the altar.
Use
you don't
Lord
even have to go down. Just make room
show
for them right on the altar. They can stand.
Enable me.
Oh, come on, Brother Randy.
All over the room,
Lord,
say,
my story.
And I am my storage is empty, and I am available, and Lord, my storage, Lord, it is empty. I present my body and living sacrifice. Here I am.
Randy and I started first grade together. We have been friends since we were 6 years old. Several years ago, he totally lost his eyesight. But every week, he's in church. And when I saw him on that choir, they were gonna leave him up there, and I said, no, bring him down to stand with me. I'm gonna show you what faithfulness looks like, okay? Yeah. He can't see. He has to hold on to somebody else, but he's here, okay? Come on, Cedric, tell him, but he's here. He, my son. Faithfulness is not what you say, it's what you do. Faithfulness is that when you can't see a thing, you've lost total eyesight, but you trust to get up on a choir stand and somebody leads your hand and sing to God because they asked the brothers to show up. They can. This is what faithfulness looks like. And fifth year, 5 years in a row. 5 years in a row up on the choir. Come on, give God a hand of praise. And listen, I love this brother. I told him I'll never forget our days. We started first grade at Perrin Thomas Elementary School in Taylor, Sagan. And he has been my friend ever since. I saw him several years ago. I was running for office. Randy saw me and he says, Dara, do you remember me? I said, Randy, I'll never forget my original friends, okay? And all the fake friends I may have forgotten, okay? But I thank God for people like this. Amen, somebody. Come on, brothers, everybody. Cedric, tell them again, my storm.
My soul says yes.
Grab a brother by the hand. Grab somebody by the hand. Come on,
my story.
Are there any women, ladies, that want prayer? If you are praying for a man in your house that's not here, all the women that's praying for men in your house, in your family, come on and stand at this altar. Stand behind my story. That's right. Eternal Father, we say thank you because you've reminded us that it's more important to be a faithful brother than a dynamic preacher. It's more important to be a faithful brother than an illustrious deacon. It's more important to be a faithful brother than any title or position we hold. Faithfulness is not what we say, it is what we do. Silas was called a faithful brother because he did the work. His video matched his audio. His character matched his calling. So we pray today, not just for those faithful brothers who are here, but those who perhaps have lost their faith, those who are sitting home, those who've given up on the church, those who've given up on you, encourage them, Lord, that you still have room for them, that you're calling them. We're touching and agreeing that wherever they may be, you would remind them that you have space available for them. Question is, are they available for you? Lord, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for those that are giving their life to the Lord. Thank you for those that are listening by way of radio. Thank you for those that are worshiping by way of internet. Thank you for all of our virtual worshipers, Lord. Thank you for those who are standing in the gap for young boys and young girls and young boys. Thank you for those who want them to see their testimony, not just to hear it. And Lord, when they do what you've called them to do, you have a special reward for them that eye has not seen, nor ear heard. God, we count it done and say in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. 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 Put your arms around somebody and say, I'm grateful for you. Come on, I'm grateful. Come on, Elder Jeff, my storage. Tell somebody I'm grateful.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled, A Faithful Brother, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 062826. Again, the number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 062826. Pastor Daryl Jackson will be conducting special midweek services each Tuesday in July at 7 p.m. as he embarks on a new series, Living a Life of Gratitude. Bring your family and your friends and come expecting a move of God. Make a commitment to join us at Bible Way throughout the month of July. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.